And all right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm not going to wear the tie, my brother. I'm just going to do this one. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. And we're continuing tonight on the home. And sometimes we don't always have a full house on Wednesday nights or some of the people that maybe need to hear this, but for the most part, some of them go back and listen to it. But these also get downloaded all over the world. What I teach on Wednesday nights, and it's not me, I guess it's just the subject, but it gets downloaded more than any other messages out of our church is what gets taught. And believe it or not, the last few weeks on the home, on the wife just pretty much liking her husband and putting up with him. Amen. I've gotten more comments from people around, from ladies that have emailed and said, thank you for this. So this ministry goes beyond this pulpit, and I thank the Lord for it. But all right, 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to continue tonight kind of where we left off last week. And again, I'm not going to be real long tonight. I had a sleep study last night at St. Vincent's Hospital, so that means I didn't sleep last night. So who knows what I'm going to say tonight. So, all right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Before we get to that, we finished off with the thought last week that one of the major reasons that a wife may not be able to accept her husband the way she ought to is because he's not fulfilling her expectations. And whenever she has a goal set for him and he's not fulfilling that goal that she sets for him, it causes frustration in her and in the home. And so it's a dangerous place to be in where her expectations are different than what God's expectations are. It ends up causing frustration. So, it's just a dangerous place to be in. You know, the Bible tells us, we're not going to look at all the verses, but Hebrews 12:1, Philippians 3:13, 1 Corinthians 9:24, all tells us that we each have to run our own race, and we each have a will of God for our life. Everybody has something that God wants them to do. And when it comes to the home, it's no different. Every person in the home, from the father, the mother, the children, everybody has their place in the home. And if they want to please God, then they need to do what God told them to do. But when they put expectations, you can do the same thing on your children. You can put expectations on your children that don't line up with the Word of God. I see people do it in athletics all the time. I mean, they'll put these expectations on their children because they're trying to relive their athletic dreams through their kids. And when their kid's not good enough to meet the expectation of the parents when it comes to whatever sport it is, then they end up resenting their parents over it, and it ends up causing problems in the home. Amen? It's the same thing if a wife does it for her husband. I've preached about these ladies and women that put their daughters through beauty pageants. I mean, you're setting them up, especially if you start when they're real young, and you take them to this beauty pageant, and they put makeup on them, they put all this jewelry on them, and they parade them in front of all these people, and they judge them, and then they wonder when that girl's a teenager, she's talking about how ugly she is, and all. I mean, from the very start, just by putting makeup on a child, you're telling. And I understand they like playing dress up and doing stuff sometimes, but when you do that all the time, and I see people do it, you're telling that girl the way that God made her is not good enough. I mean, you're teaching her that the way that God, the Bible said that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And children are, they're fearfully and wonderfully, I mean, they're beautiful in God's sight, and they ought to be beautiful to their parents. But when a mama takes a little girl and puts makeup on her, and if she does that all the time, all the way through her teenage years, her face is so messed up by the time she's an adult, she has to have makeup. Amen? And they might think it's cute or whatever, but subconsciously, they're setting a mark, they're setting an expectation for that child that they'll never be able to live up to. And thanks to social media, there's a lot of pressure on young people to try to be accepted. And I don't think any child ought to have social media, period. But when a parent lets them have that and they put these unrealistic expectations on them, then all of a sudden you're creating a recipe for disaster. And it's the same thing with a wife that puts expectations on her husband. And she'll oftentimes do that and put those expectations, and she's getting her expectations from something she sees on social media. Or the neighbor. Amen. Well, the neighbor's yard looks, you know, perfectly manicured. Amen. The neighbor's got pretty flowers in his yard. What do you get? Whenever I moved it into the house down here in Dora, we moved in there and it was an immaculate yard. I was like, man, I'm never going to be able to live up to this. Right? I mean, it was gorgeous. So I get in and I'm trying. I'm out there trying. Man, I killed everything in sight. Sarah's like, hey, it used to look so beautiful. I couldn't do it. Come to find out, the guy graduated from Auburn University in some kind of degree in landscaping. Like, I'm an electrician by trade, and I try to preach. That's all I can do. I'm good for nothing else. But these expectations can cause frustration in the home. Especially if you have a lady that works outside of the home. She sees things all the time, and she hears things about other people's husbands, about other things that maybe they get to do with their families. And then she goes home and says, well, why can't we do this? Well, it might be that you're barely scraping by and he's doing the best he can. Right? But that causes problems in the home because now her expectations of what he should be is not being met, and it causes problems. Whenever we start making goals for other people and giving ultimatums, they will always fail to meet the goal. And if by chance your husband develops into what you want him to be, he's going to be miserable. Amen? No matter how he wants to fake it, he's going to be miserable. And he's not going to be the man that God wants him to be. And he's going to live a lie. Does anybody want their husband to be a liar? Amen. But he'll end up living a lie. And he'll be what you need him to be when he's there, but as soon as he's not with you, he'll be himself. Amen. And right, wrong, or indifferent, there'll be somebody out there that doesn't mind him being himself. Amen. It causes problems. Eventually, he'll live out that lie, and then eventually the walls of that marriage will crumble because he's having to live a lie just to put up with the expectations that she has for him. And I've seen this play out time and time and time again. And when I'm saying all this, please understand that I'm not saying that wickedness should be advocated by a wife. If he's not living right, I mean, and he's not doing right, God will get him for that. And I'm not saying you need to be happy about it. Amen. You need to pray for him. We looked at that in 1 Peter chapter 3. We looked at that by the conversation of the wife, he may be won. And that's talking about a lost or a backslidden husband. And what God said is, lady, ma'am, you just do right and live right and let God deal with him. And so that's what should happen. Look with me there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible said, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You say, what does this have to do with a husband and wife? Well, Peter here is talking about this precious stone. You know what he's referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about right here, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he's saying is the one who believes on Jesus, who puts their trust on Jesus, is not going to be confounded. Not going to be confounded. That word confounded means to be confused, bewildered, perplexed. And so what a wife needs to do if she has a husband that's not living right is put all of her trust in God. And let God deal with him. And we went over in detail about submitting to a husband that's not doing right and about how God would take care of that. I'm not going to go over that again. But God will work everything out. Christians, I see them all the time today. That I mean, especially when it comes to health and the crisis that's going on. Man, and Brother Jim, we've talked about it. People are in panic mode. And you want to ask them, do you know the same God that I know? This Christian life is one of faith. And if somebody's not doing right, a husband in this case, just trust God. He's always taken care of you before. Will He not do it again? And a wife may complain that her husband's not the spiritual leader in the home, and he does not go to church like she thinks he should, or maybe doesn't witness like he should, and he doesn't do devotions, but he says he's saved, and all of a sudden she's bewildered and she's confounded by what's going on. And you say, what do you do? Just simply put your faith in God and say, Lord, I'm leaving them up to you. And I promise He can take care of them. Amen. And like I said before, if it gets real bad, just pray God kills them. Trust the Lord to take care of it either way. So, and if He's smart and you're right with God, He'll get right. Many times a wife may be confused about the things in her home. She's confused about the way her husband is acting. She's confused because maybe she's not trusting Jesus on a matter, and she's looking to Him and has these expectations. And it just doesn't understand why these things are happening. But God's Word is infallible, and God's truth is infallible, and He can take care of it. That's what I'm trying to get to at this point right here. God can take care of it. In 1 Peter 5, 7, he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Do you believe that He cares for you? Absolutely, He does. And so you need to put your trust in Him. And so, a wife accepting her husband. And another thing that she needs to be careful with is never comparing her husband with another man's husband. That's not good for a marriage, period. Amen. And I've counseled with people before, and sitting in the office, they look, I wish you were more like him. I'm like, no, you don't. Go talk to my wife. Amen. And but that's a dangerous place to be in. It's just dangerous. That goes both ways. A husband should never compare his wife to other women. And the grass is never greener on the other side. I mean, we've talked about that before, but I can't tell you how many wives have got this expectation for their husbands, and they'll meet somebody they used to go to school with on Facebook, and they see he's got a big car and a big house and, you know, a well-manicured yard and all these kind of things, and all of a sudden, she's like, they start talking, and she goes, man, it'd be much better being with him. Because her husband don't meet her expectations. Well, she leaves to find out that he's so far in debt that he can't even buy McDonald's. Right? And he's foolish to take her in, and she'll just leave for somebody else because she's never satisfied. It's a dangerous place to be in. I've taught this, going through here a few times before, and you know, there's wives that'll say, well, man, you don't understand how lazy my husband is, or you don't understand how sorry my husband is. Well, God knows. And you married him. Well, I didn't know he was lazy and sorry when I married him. Well, you should have prayed about it more. But God gives some advice to someone in that condition, and here's the advice. Philippians 2:14. Let's turn there real quick. Philippians 2:14. Ladies, I'm almost finished with the section on accepting your husband. And then I'll go that you need to help your husband love himself. That's next. All right. Philippians 2:14. Y'all there? Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Move on, right? He's lazy. He won't do what he's supposed to. I mean, he's not meeting your expectations, obviously. Let's look at one more verse. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. You know, our Bible, well, I should say this, the world is in the exact opposite of our Bible. I mean, what I'm teaching tonight is so foreign. It's so, I mean, you call it whatever you will. Sir? The truth, yeah. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. All right, look in Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse number 23. The Bible has a whole lot to say about this subject that we're going to read, but we're just going to look at these couple of verses here. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Alright, and if you want to get a little bit of context to what we're dealing with, look at verse 24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. That's not a wide woman in a brawling house. That's a brawling house, a brawling woman in a wide house. And so, those two verses there, I mean, what it's pretty much saying is it's better for a brawling woman's husband to crawl up and on the roof and stay in the corner than to deal with his nagging wife. I mean, that's what it boils down to. If you look up at verse number 23, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. The angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. You say, what does that mean? If a lady has expectations for her husband and she's always telling him about it and she's, you know, it's dangerous using the word nagging, but I've already used it once. And she's constantly doing that, guess what he's going to do? He might sit there and put up with it in front of you, but as soon as he leaves, he's doing backbiting tongue. And now you don't have a good testimony. You said, should he do that? No, he shouldn't. But we're dealing with the ladies tonight. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Does that mean a woman? Let me ask you this. Does that mean a woman is supposed to rejoice when her husband is not doing something the way she thinks it should be done? That falls under always. Amen? And so, she should. But she's not rejoicing in the fact that her husband may be sorry. And I'm not saying that the husband's not sorry. He might be sorry. But you're rejoicing in the Lord. You're putting your faith and confidence in the Lord. I'm thankful for verses like that because it's encouraging. No matter what you're going through, you can rejoice in the Lord. I've had a really, really rough day in many different ways. And Brother Bowen tonight came and said, hey, how was your day? And the only thing good I had to say was the Lord is good. The only good thing I had to say. See, what was I doing? I was practicing rejoicing the Lord always. Because I had nothing else good to say about today. Other than God's good. Because that fact never changes. And if you've got stuff in the home and difficulties and things, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God's been faithful and He's been good. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. This will be the last verse we'll turn to. Then I'm going to give you just three things. I'll just mention them and then we'll be done. All right, Philippians chapter 4. Why are you giving all these verses that have nothing to do with husband and wives? Because when you're talking about accepting your husband, that's not always easy to do. And it takes trusting in the Lord to do it. Amen. All right, Philippians, and I know it gets real personal and we only got a few folks here tonight, but I was studying it and prepared to teach it. If there was 100 people here, I didn't know who was coming. All right, Philippians 4:4. Oh, we already read that. Look at verse 6, just a couple verses down. All right, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Ladies, if there's an issue or there's something there, talk to God about it. Because most, there's probably different percentage today. Most husbands are wimps today. But if you have a man for a husband, he's not going to just sit there and let you hassle him about something. Amen? And usually, whatever happens, will cause roses and apology to come later from him. But more than likely, he's not going to sit there and just take that. Amen. I mean, there's some that do. They got a lot more patience. But you say, what do I do when I'm frustrated? Give it to God. Talk to him about it. I've said this before, that a wife that does right and she has the right attitude is one of the most convicting things for a man, especially if he's wrong. Amen, Jimmy? I mean, I just said that because he amened it too. So. But whenever a man's not doing right, but his wife just says, okay, that's what you say. And he gets off somewhere and he's convicted about it, because he, especially if he knows that he's wrong. Well, he don't know he's wrong. God will tell him. And the peace of God, look at the promise here. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Even in my marriage, even in my home, absolutely. God's word is not lie, and it's not going to return void. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so, there's a lot of advice in here to help a wife accept her husband. And this can be applied to anything in the Christian life, but specifically what we're talking about here. So, let me just give you three things, and I'm just going to mention them and we'll be done. Number one, commit all problems to God. We're talking about accepting your husband. Commit everything to God. Give it to him. Does this mean you can't talk to your husband about things that you're feeling or all that? No, you can talk to him about it. But sometimes you just have to mention it and then just leave it. And say, Lord, I've talked to him, I'm giving it to you. Because anything more than that, you start getting into a situation that's going to cause frustration in the home. And then if you're constantly dealing with them and talking to them about it, then God can't deal with them. How's he supposed to hear the voice of God when all he hears is another voice? Amen? I amen myself. All right. Number two, thank God for taking the problems and trust him to work it out. Don't just commit all the problems to him and then take them right back. Thank him for taking them and trust him to work it out. And then the last thing, we've already went over this. I don't know if it was last time or the time before, but do the best you can to focus on the good attributes. The praiseworthy attributes. Well, he's sorry at this, this, and this. Well, is there anything he's good at? Amen. Does he go to work and come home? Well, that's all he does. When he gets home, he sleeps. Thank God he went to work. Amen. And if you're a husband in here, you need to do more than that. But start trying to find those things, and maybe God will show you, hey, you don't have it as bad as you think you do. And God will start working on those other things. But if you're constantly on him, because the way he is not good enough for what you think he should be. And I said this last time, there's sometimes that ladies or young girls will marry a man or a boy, and she knows the way he is, but she's in love with him. And she thinks in her mind, I'm going to train him. Well, that's not a good way to start off a marriage. And you know what? There's a lot of them that do train their husbands very well, and they're very submissive. But their home's not one that pleases God, and he's miserable because that's not how God created them to be. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's all stand. Maybe it works out good having like camp meetings and revivals and other preachers every other Wednesday. All right, Brother Bowen, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, please?